It is always good to be in the house of the Lord because you fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you spend and fellowshipping with those brothers and sisters, you feel warm, you feel nice, you feel good, you feel strong. You may spend so many hours in the mall, they may know you, that you spend time to shop in there, but you don't fellowship with them. It's because you don't share the same Christ, maybe. This morning, when God really called me, especially for full time in 1993, that was the first time I stand before the brothers and sisters to preach the word of God. And since then, I never stopped. I share, I preach, I speak, because his grace is sufficient. His love endures forever. It's really amazing. You know, I'm married to one wife, and I got three kids. I'm the first in my family. We are eight children in our family. As you know, my mom, she's there for my sister's wedding, and I went there too for 2 weeks. It was good. And it was a good time because I was given 7 minutes to speak in that wedding time. And the people were from all over, and there were about more than 550 in that reception. And I'm glad and I was happy to share and preach in 7 minutes the message of holiness. It is always good to be the child of God because there is benefit at the end of the day. I saw a frame that says, don't worry about your journey. I mean, enjoy your journey, don't worry about your destination. Enjoy your journey, but don't worry about your destination. I wonder what we all, the children of God, that we are gathered here. Did you ever ask yourself, what is your destination? Are we sure we will get in that destination that we're looking forward? Today, there are so many preachers, so many teachers, so many churches, so many religion activity that is going on in every way you go. But what is my destination? I personally don't like to travel where I don't know where I'm heading to. Especially my wife, she can't tell you. I have to know from A to B. I don't want to go and then end up nowhere. So I wonder today, all of us, if we know for sure that where we're heading is where God is waiting us for. In this scripture that we read today, our brother Tom, John, the letter, Second John, or the Epistle of John, the second letter, that he is really emphasizing straightforward about how sure we should be in what we believe and what we confess and what we really believe in. I always ask myself, and people, they do know me. Even when I was there last in June in Ethiopia, at Shalva, when I was preaching, they said, you're still preaching the same. You never changed. They saw me after 27 years. You never change. Because the message of God never changes. It's all the people that keep changing. Why? For their own benefits, for their own needs, for their own fameness. I don't want to be famed for anything but for Christ. We as a church also, I like to invite you to be very cautious, to be very true to yourself and to what you're learning and reading throughout the days when you come to the church and when you stay at home. So as I said earlier, where are we heading with all what we are doing in our life as we exist in this earth? You see, John is a brave guy. He is He was the youngest one. From all the disciples that they were following, he was the youngest one, and he was the only one who stayed all the way out. When the others died, he never died. He stayed, and he wrote this for us. And when I was thinking about him, he's so amazing how he daily spent his time in trying to know who Jesus Christ is, so that we may know. We know Jesus, who he is, because of this epistle, this writings of these apostles that we have. Otherwise, we don't know him. I don't know him personally. But I know him through the word of God that we have given in here. So John here is mentioning to be very careful. How? By walking in truth. We can only walk in truth if we have truth in us. And who is the truth? The truth is only Jesus Christ himself. No one can say to you or to me that he is the truth. The truth is only Christ. And I confess that again this morning by saying Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. He is the only one. So we have to really confess to ourselves first. Make sure that this truth lives in us. If the truth is not living in us, there is no possible way we can convey anything that is promised in the scriptures. So I'd like to encourage you this morning to be bold like John. He said, anyone who is not teaching and preaching about Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he came and dwelt among us, that he was crucified, died on the cross, and buried, and resurrection. If you don't confess that, then you don't have to say, I'm a Christian. There are so many religions today, wherever you go, but they don't take you where you should be at. I mean, you know, if you may go to the airport to catch a plane, and you may see all the gates out there laying up, and then the planes are there. You cannot get into any plane you wanted because they don't take you where you should be going. So we have the only one way, and that's Christ the Messiah, the Christ the Son of God, the living God. He himself is God. He was and is and to come. So John is trying to identify the personality of Christ and also the heresy that was going on through. What is this heresy? What is this wrong teaching? Do we know it? Do we see it in these days? You know, it reminds me when I was sent to a very close border between Ethiopia and Sudan. It's a very hot place. And by the way, this is the first time I'm preaching without a tie. This is my first time. I used to put my tie, and that's how, especially when I was traveling in Africa, they said, if you don't have those things on you, they don't listen to you. But you know, when I went to that place, it was very hot. And I went to that congregation, and then they were so crowded out there, and then I started preaching, but I couldn't last 5 minutes. And I told them, just give me 5 minutes. The place I was staying, the hotel, was very close. I went back home to the hotel and dropped everything that I was wearing and came back with shorts and a t-shirt. And all of them, they're looking at me, what happened? No, I can't. Because it was 115 Fahrenheit almost. It was boiling hot. But it was massive crowd out there waiting for the word of God to be heard, they to listen to and to live like they were expecting. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, in this time, in the first century time, when the church was on persecution, where was all that heavy persecution coming after the believers, the preachers? They can't go everywhere, or they cannot come to the church while they have it. They have to go to their houses. So there were some people, families, opening their home. To be gathered there to worship and someone to preach. So there were guest preachers coming from all over. But they don't know exactly, really, if they were one of these apostles. They only let to preach. What are we opening our hearts for, our ears for? Today we are getting bombarded by the news, by the media, by YouTube, anything you name it. How can we say no to the no thing? How can we prevent ourselves from our mind getting defiled and distorted? How are we going to stay holy before God and before the people out there? Today, the world is not lacking preachers. There are so many preachers out there, but the world is lacking that someone who says and preaches to live it out. Holiness is not just something, it's just Christ living in us. If Christ is living in you, then the fruit you have is what Christ is bearing you for. So, coming back to this point, John strictly said to the lady, who is this lady? I don't think she is my aunt or my grandma. I can't say that. But this lady, two views. One, she could be an angel influencing woman. Do we have influencing women around us? Yes, they do. We have it. And she opened her house for someone to come and preach. But John said, be careful to whom you're letting in. What are we listening into it? What are our ears getting into? All this information is coming from anywhere. So this lady, she opened, but the teaching that was going on, this Gnosticism thing, denying the fact that Christ is not the Son of God, that he never came in human form. I cannot deny that. You cannot deny that. That he was in flesh. Christ is a revelation of God. He revealed God to us. We don't know who God is, but God was revealed in Christ, the Son of God. That's why he said, you see me, you see God. I and him are one. There's no one or no one else in between. It's only him and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, of course. So this truth that is living in us is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God, one of the three. Like Jesus Christ promised, he said, it's good for me to go so that the Holy Spirit comes. And this Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will what? Lead you to the truth. He will tell you the truth. Who is the truth? Pilate asked, what is truth? But John said, Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen? John said, the one who lives in me and the one who lives in you. So when he's writing, we don't have to wonder to whom he's writing. He's writing to the believers already. Those people were already converted one, believers one. It's not the newcomers. Why? He said, the one who is in me is in you, and that's the truth. So I love that. You know, one morning I was thinking, what is Christianity? Who is Christian? And then, you know, I came up with three types of Christians. One, just a grown up in the church. He just born in the church, I mean with a family, and he grew up. And he thinks that he is Christian. He's there. And the other one is he thinks he inherited from somewhere, from his grandfather. Someone like he told me, you can't tell me I'm a believer. My great grandfather was a priest, a preacher. And he doesn't even confess what he believes on. Another Christian is the one who really committed his soul, his life into Christ. He let Christ to come in, and he's growing according to the scripture. We say he grows in the Lord through the Spirit of God by studying, meditating, and worshiping, and living according to the command that was given. That's why, you know, in verse 4, I'll read for you. It says, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. John is saying, I'm so happy, I'm joyful. Why? Some of your children are still walking in the truth. The word walking is what? The teachers are, we have them here. It's a present, what? Continuous tense, they call it. It's a continuing, it's a progressive tense. So it's a growing thing. So Christianity is something that grows. You have to grow in the Lord. I have to grow in Christ. I can't just stop somewhere. You see, coming to the church is sometimes we think to find the Lord in the church. No, the Lord is not in the church. The Lord is in you and in me. Why? In the New Testament, we are the temple of Christ. Whoever is washed by the blood and become a new creature in him has the Spirit of God, and that leads us to be one of the temple of Christ. So I have to guard it. We have to guard it from all kinds of things that comes to destroy, to kill, and to steal. Why? The devil comes to do that. Christ comes to give life, abundant life. So John is saying that, I'm so happy. Why? Some of your children are walking in the truth. May God help us to walk in the truth. Sometimes we depend on yesterday. Yesterday is not mine, it's not yours. And today is yours, tomorrow is not ours, but today is our hope for tomorrow. Amen? Today is our day to be in line with God. In our devotion in the family together, I asked one time, and I said, what does it mean to be holy as my father is holy? And my daughter Mila said, to be one with the Lord, to be aligned with the Lord. To be one in his thinking, in his expectation, in everything that he said, to live according to what he says and what he promises. So today I challenge you, I challenge myself, are we walking in the truth? Are we walking in the truth? You know, it's very important to stay walking in the Lord. Do you remember when you decided Christ to become the Lord of your life? Just pause for a while. That day, that woman, that month, that year, when you decided, Christ, be the center of my life. Come and live in me. I want to be yours. You want to be mine. So do you remember that day, that time, how you were? And how was your spiritual life? How strong you were? How strong I was? And how is my strength right now as we live by? How serious are we committed to Him? Like the time we did when we say, Lord, come unto me. I want to be yours. I want to be your child. Be the Lord of my life. So John is so happy here, so excited seeing people still going on the truth. May God keep us away from all that kind of destruction we think of. What is that distracting me and you? What is that stealing my time and your time? What is that we say it's okay when it wasn't okay to be? We are living in the time that we're normalizing to the things that they shouldn't be normalized. It's a time that we're living in to be saying, it's okay, caution. I want to give you a short story about this caution thing. One morning I have to go to work. It was about 4 a.m. I supposed to be going, you know, the Air Force in Fairfield. So I have to take this route 580 and 80. But my GPS was telling me to go on Highway 4. I said to myself, why should I go that way? It's dark. And I said, okay, maybe something is happening this way, so that's the open way to go. And I start driving and driving and driving. Still, I don't know where I'm going, but I have that GPS. And there was, you know, this big wall, concrete wall, they stop to tell you don't go through. I didn't see it. It's dark. But I keep going till I see it. By the time I saw it, there was another car there. In that car, there was a lady. She didn't see it. And she just knocked that concrete wall, and she's just on my left side. It was a shock for me. Remember, I don't mind in Ethiopia or Eritrea to step out and try to help, but here, you will be the first one to be asked because you are right there. So I'm kind of afraid of, what do I do? Anyway, I decided I'm going to get out because why did I came this way when I shouldn't be coming? So the lady was hit. She's bleeding when I get nearer to her. When I get closer to her, she was hit. Bleeding. And she only speaking softly saying, please call my husband. And I don't know her phone. So I pick up my phone. You know how to dial the private number thing? You dial star and I use that thing. I don't want to give my number. So I called the husband. I see your wife here in an accident. I cannot tell you where exactly it is, but she is hit. Thank you for telling me. I will come. Try to call her on her phone and see what happens, but I couldn't stay longer. I have to go. So what I'm trying to say is, we have to be cautious with the Word of God, what God is telling us, unless we store the Word of God in us. Unless we are fully loaded with the word and with the promises of God, we cannot give away to others. May God keep us and help us to come the way He wants us to be. So the heresies is here. He is warning them directly. So when John is writing, he's not begging them. He's not appealing to them like in a wimp type of writing. He is telling them in authority, if anyone that comes and shares with you that nothing to correspond with the teaching that you are given before, don't let it in. Don't welcome them. Do not listen to them straight up. But today we choose words, am I right? How to say it. Sin is sin, am I right? But we try to be very careful how to say it. Now I ask myself, if these apostles in the early church were so strong and bold to confess, saying, we are telling you the one we heard from, we touched it, we experienced, we felt it, we're giving it to you, and this is the way. Like Paul, he said, the wage of sin is death, straight up. He wasn't like shy to tell. And Paul, and John saying, do not let anyone to come to you, because they're not from God. Today, how are we going to tell ourselves and our brothers and sisters to prevent them from those kind of things, from getting defiled? I asked you, how bold are we today to say holiness is the will of God for me, for you? Holiness is not a precious message, it's the message from God. If we're not holy, we cannot see God. The only way to see God is to be holy like He is expecting us to be separated for Him. If I can be sanctified, everything that belongs to me also can be sanctified for Him. May God help us. I'd like to encourage you this morning that God is always good when we also feel good, it's because of His goodness in us. We cannot be on our own in this generation where we live in to be strong enough, especially spiritually. Our physical body needs to be strong. We need to eat healthy food. We need to be strong in health condition. Today, you can't even be sick with what you eat without knowing what that food has in it. The same thing. Don't eat. It's not good for you. Same thing. Do not listen. Do not do anything that is not from God. May God help us. Amen. So in this thing, if I have to read for you, you know, John didn't say, there may have been false teachers into past or maybe more in the future, and no one would deceive us now. He didn't say that. As long as we acknowledge that Christ is God, it doesn't matter if we accept His humanity or not. John didn't say that. God's grace and mercy is so amazing. There is no need to be careful about our thoughts, our words, our deeds, whatever we do. Still, there is no consequences. Am I getting a little bit louder? Sorry. So it is okay to have fellowship with people that they don't confess the same Christ we do. He never said all these things. So to what extent are we fellowshipping with those people that they don't confess the same faith that we confess? You see, when John says, do not let them to come into your house, he's not talking about hospitality in terms of eating, drinking chai tea or coffee or eating some foods. He never said that. He's saying, do not fellowship in terms of your beliefs with those unbelievers. Amen? Stands clear. Do not. Stay away. Say no. And today, you need to be very careful when you look at this. You know, the snake don't hiss anymore. What are they saying? Huh? Brother, friend, babe, honey, my darling, all that thing. It doesn't say to you, I am the devil. I am from Satan. It doesn't say. But with that kind of things, is how they're getting into us. In other words, John is saying, we have to have discernment. We need to discern what is from, what is this talking about, and so on and so on. So be careful, and I need to be very careful too, not to be deceived by what I think is okay. It's not okay when it's not okay. In other words, you may pass that one too. My season does what? Changes. Who doesn't change? Huh? God or Christ Himself, they never change. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His message is the same. The word of God is the same. They're trying to manipulate it and change it this way and that way. But I'm telling you and trying to confirm to you, Christ's message never changes. At all. But we change. That's the problem. And may God help us to say the same. I don't know if I told some of you, in my thesis when I wrote for my graduation in the seminar, and you have to defend it in front of 5-7 professors. And in my paper, I used more than, I think 20-something times, if I'm not wrong, the norm, No, I'm talking, and then one of the professors, he asked me, why did you use this word so many times? And I say to him, for my beliefs and my teaching or my ministry and everything, my life, everything begins in the Word of God, I told him. I have to begin from the Word of God. The Word of God must be my foundation. Anything that doesn't relate to the Word of God, I shouldn't, and I listen or preach it out. So I say it again. Whatever we do, whatever we practice, the Bible has to come first, I would say. May God help us. Not culture, not something else. Because, you know, my philosophy professor, he said, what is right, what is red to you may not be red in China. What is green in China may not be green in America, I said. What? Because, you know, in traffic laws, remember, those green light and the red light and the orange lights, whatever country you go, they are all the same colors, yes? But he said, be careful. To some of them, that red means is go, they go, and he got knocked out. So he said, watch it. He's trying to make us to think. What is right for someone may not be right for somebody else. But what is the truth in the Bible is always the same truth, regardless of where we come from or where we preach it out. It stays the same. That's why John is saying, I'm so happy, I'm so glad we have the truth. I have the truth in me and the truth is in you. And what is infusing us is the mercy of God, is the grace of God. That's empowering us every day when we come to the Lord. Say, help me, Lord. I'm so weak on this day. Your meter begins in the morning. Am I right? For the day. Your parking meters starts when you park, yes? But your life for the day begins especially when you step out from your bed. To be connected with the Lord as you were connected yesterday. This is the day that the Lord has made and I will be glad in it. I will rejoice. God, give me the grace for the day. And let your truth remains in me. Abiding in the Word of God. Abiding in the truth of the Lord. When we abide in Him, He abides in us. There will be much, much, much fruitful. Have you ever seen a tree planted and grown up and there are branches on it and there are so many green branches on them and yet there's one brown dry branch still on the tree, not disconnected. So I ask myself, what is wrong with this branch and why is it so dry? Why is it so brown? Why not it's so green? That branch that is hooked on the stem in the outer part is really connected. But the veins, whatever you call them, those inside in those branches, that they should be really connected to get all the nutrition from down the roots. It's not really connected. They look alike, they are connected, but they're not. That's why they dry out. May God really keep us in line with Him, reminds us every day to be the way He wants us to be. Through praying every day, reading His Word, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not about speaking in tongues. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means consecrate yourself daily. Tell Him that you need that grace for the day. You need that power for the day to live on powerfully and fruitfully and really living in a pleasing way to the Lord, not to yourselves or to myself. Whoever, you say, straightforward, welcome those such heresy or false teachers is what? Is sharing with their wicked way. How many times we trying to share, to help them unknowingly? They may ask us some donation. It's humanitarian this way, humanitarian that way. Yet it's not really what it is. And we support them. So that's what he's saying about it. When we allow them, help them, whatever they want to do it, we are sharing with whatever they're doing. That's what he's saying. It's not me saying it. I can read it for you. It says, anyone who welcomes him or her shares in his wicked way. Well, I was given the scripture to bring forth. It's a very strong one. I'm sorry to say that. But we need it. We need to be alert. We need to be awakened. You see, revival is not just when God created us, we were all revived. Am I right? In the first two chapters in the Genesis that we know, we see, we were all revived. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. But when the moment that relationship, you know, break down, everything start falling apart. Everything. And God has to work it out for us so that we may come to him. That means to be revived. Revival. You were revived already, but we need to be revived. We were sold in the beginning, but we need restoration. We were reconciled first, but we need to be reconciled again. Why? Because of the humanity that mankind falls short of the glory of the Lord. We cannot deny this fact. Yes, we are his children. There is no new one here, I know. We are his children. Let us remain like John saying here, walking in the truth. Some of your children are still walking in the truth. I'm so happy. Some. I don't like that word, some. What about the rest? I don't know if we are about 50 or 60 here. We are gathered here in his name to fellowship with him. And I will be so glad, all of us, when he comes, not just some of us to be united with him, but all of us to say, welcome, my children. Come unto me. You've done enough. You didn't just end your life. You just finished your race. When Paul said, I finished my race. He didn't say, I end up my life. He didn't end his life. He finished his race. We are racing every day until the coming of Christ, the second coming. We are racing. We are on the race. You know for sure there are so many Ethiopians so famous in running, so many like 10,000 meters they call it. I don't know here, to change it here, 10,000 meters, marathons and so on. They win those things. They race. I'm not saying they are the good ones, the only ones. But I'm just saying, let us race. Let us continue in our race. Race, I'm not saying race, but I'm just saying the running that we do, the athletic, spiritual athletic that we're doing. Let us not share with the wicked way. At last, it's so amazing how John said it. He said, it is good for me to come face to face. I can write all and everything to you. But it's better to come. It's better for me to come in person. How are we guarding ourselves? How are we guarding? He's worried. He wrote them this very condensed and rich text to them. And you know, the scholars, they came up saying, we agree with that too. This book and the third John, it says you can finish them reading maybe under 2 minutes. If you want to be hired in the news media thing, you need to be fast reader. Am I right? You can finish those 13 verses under 300 words of Greek words in 2 minutes, but they are rich. When the first John is talking and telling us about how our relationship to be with the Lord, the third is telling us how to be our relationship with one another. But the second one is warning us to be aware that we shouldn't break our fellowship with the Lord, warning us to be really united with the Lord, not with the heresy teaching, so that we may be careful. As you can see here, it really amazes me. You see that lady or that girl, how she's waiting? Make a boundaries. Are you building your boundaries? If not, let us. She's inside. She's inside the book. She's inside the Bible. She's guarding herself. I don't want anything from left, right, anything for that matter, but that. May God help us to set a boundary. So here, I would like to finish it in saying that we should be separated from any kind that is false, that's untrue, that's not worthy, that's not from God. And that only happens if we live in the truth, if the truth only lives in us. If the truth is not living in us, then we are in somewhere, somehow wrong. Let's think about it today, this moment. What is John trying to say to us? What is he saying to me? What is he saying to you? We need to guard ourselves. We need to really keep ourselves safe from all kinds of things, dangerous things that they come toward us. How often do we read our scripture? How often we meditate on the scripture? You see, the problem is we like to memorize the scripture. Am I right? We memorize verses. But it's not about memorizing the verses. It's about meditating the word of God. Even the devil himself, when he tempted Christ, he caught a text from whatever he was memorizing from. So what I'm trying to say is meditating day and night, understanding what God is trying to say to you, to me, is how and which way, if we ask, that will be able to board us or to make boundaries from all kind of danger, spiritual dangers here. Texting is okay, but let us meditate on it day and night. May God help us. Amen? Meditate it. Live on it. Walk on it. Don't sit on it. Walk on it. Don't sleep on it. I remember some people, you know, they will say, I can't read the Bible, and the devil is really disturbing me in my sleeping, so I'm going to keep the Bible under my pillows. And they think, you know, the word of God will help them that way. But that's not the way. We are better than that. We are better than that. Today, with all our tech people around here, we are sure we can voice type it, we can voice hear it or read it and so on. As you drive, play your audio, your Bible, and think about it if you don't have time. But I believe you have time if you make time. May God help us.